This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Holy crap. Holy crap, Batman. I am not Robin, but man, it's really level 3 already. Feels like we've been on for an hour. It doesn't even feel like an hour to me, but in all actuality, it's like, yeah, we've done a few segments. So honestly, it feels like an hour. Doesn't feel like, wow, like we're into level 3 here right now already. The big year at Cohen will join us a little bit later on. We'll get Matthias's take on the NBA draft later. I know he's fired up for some NBA basketball. We shouldn't even ask Teddy. Teddy's like, this guy's like Bad Santa, man, this guy. I'm fired up for the NBA draft. Jaden Ivey to the Pistons, it won't work. So I like what I call, I said, so who should they have taken? I don't know, right? God, Teddy, you're getting grumpy in your elder years. Teddy Covers was with us earlier. We had the big E, Eric Cohen. The big E, Eric Cohen, who actually gets friendlier, and Cohen's like Mr. Dad now. Like I said, we got Cohen on sometime, like, you know, when we'll tell some real old stories. But I don't know, man. This guy, every time he comes on the show, is like, he's got his kids around and stuff. Cohen, like, I've never seen Cohen without his daughter. He's a good father. His daughter's always with him. She's always waving at me during these segments and stuff. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Hey. So, crazy night tonight with the NBA draft. So, just sort of set the stage here. You know, it sort of feels like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, what, you know, I got to be honest. Whenever somebody tells me that there's not a lot of stuff going on, or that, like, well, you know, there's just baseball, like, I almost wonder, like, why are you on my show? Like, you know what I'm saying? What do you mean? Like, there's always something going on. That's why I've been doing this for 20 years, and I got a passion for it. There's always something going on. Like, right now, my head is spinning. I'm like, oh, no. I'm fired up. I already got a couple $1,000 in on these football games already this weekend. CFL and USFL. I already have my action in. I'm going to put more in. So I already got a bunch of bets in on the football already. We've got the Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow. The NBA Summer League. Teddy asking, do people bet on that? Yes, people bet on that. Yes. Yeah, people bet on that. So we got the NBA Summer League. We got the TBT basketball tournament coming up. We got Wimbledon. All right, we got Wimbledon around the corner. So I retweeted a great video today of Jimmy Connors. What an epic point that was at the U.S. Open. Old school. Man, the crowds are rowdy in the old days of tennis, man. As well as people talk about, like, what your favorite major tennis tournament is. We'll do a poll question later about that stuff around the thing. I'm going to assume that Wimbledon, like Cam Stewart the other day, we were talking about, because it came up, Cam said that his favorite actually is France. He likes the clay. He goes, the clay is the best to me. And he asked me, what's my favorite Grand Slam tournament? And I told him the U.S. Open. For me, like, the U.S. Open's the one, man. It's in America. The crowd is rowdier. You got the planes flying over. It's in New York City. And, like, all tennis players, yeah, they want to win Wimbledon, but you want to make real money and get big time sponsors? Win in New York, baby. Win the U.S. Open. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. It was chaos. It was carnage, man. All right? It was crazy. And we're talking about the NBA draft. Wow. Wow. I tweeted out earlier today, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, and this is Sports Rage. Shout out to everyone listening right now in SoCal. I'm out here 1090 ESPN Radio. I tweeted out earlier in the day, I said, expect a lot of wows tonight. And there were a lot of wows tonight. There were a ton of wows, and there were a ton of words that were a lot racier than the word wow going on in sports books, sports bettors, sports book managers must have nearly had a heart attack today in the last 24 hours. You were with us last night at this time. You were with us last night at this time. And we were talking about the numbers, and things started getting whacked out, and then they corrected themselves, and then they got whacked out again, then they corrected themselves, and they got whacked out again right before the draft. And the Orlando Magic take Paolo Banchero. I don't have a problem with them taking Paolo Banchero. This is not a criticism of Paolo Banchero, but I don't think he was the best player in the draft. I think Paolo Banchero is a safe pick. I think the Orlando Magic didn't want to wait on somebody, and they thought that he was the safest guy that can play right away. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that Banchero is going to be an automatic 20-8 for the rest, you know what I mean, for the next 10 years. I don't think he's going to be a megastar. I don't think he's going to give you 30 a night. I don't think he's going to be Joel Embiid, but I also don't think he's going to be Andrea Bargnani. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a nice, solid NBA player. But if I got the top pick in the draft, I'm looking for something better than just nice and solid. I'm looking to knock it out of the park. And I'm the Orlando Magic, so don't pretend you're on the verge of winning anything anyways right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder got who they wanted in Chet Holmgren. He wanted to play there. They wanted to get him. Was a perfect fit. Houston Rockets have to be, you know, pleasantly amazed that they got Jabari Smith with the third pick. He's a good player to add into what they already have there. The Sacramento Kings, nothing against Keegan Murray, but for the love of God, bro, you just left Jaden Ivey on the table. Yet, maybe they knew something that we don't know about Jaden Ivey not wanting to go there. Jaden Ivey said before the draft that's not true, that he'll go anywhere. And he said the reason I never met with them is because I was advised by my agents not to, because his agents do a good job and nobody wants to go to Sacramento, so sorry, Sacramento. Hell, I'll go to Sacramento. But NBA players, they don't, you know, the team blows, man. It's like purgatory. This is Sports Rage. The Biggie, Eric Cohen, Stanley Cup. Let's do this thing. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Thursday night throwdown continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the People, the Buster, but everybody else in between, we're throwing it down. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Money or 1090, ESPN Radio. Let's bring it in. They used to be with us nightly, keeping us up to date in the booth in the old school HSR Sirius days. Now, cutting edge with TSN Edge. TSN. The Big E, Eric Cohen, the real Eric Cohen. Although that other Eric Cohen's a cool dude in Tennessee. He's a good guy, that guy, actually. We met him on Twitter just because he's the other Eric Cohen. But nevertheless, the Big E, Eric Cohen. What's up, Cohen? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Gabe?
We're doing all right, Cohen. We're doing all right. We had a good night in the CFL.
Yeah.
We'll get to that a little bit later on. But But we've got the Stanley Cup Finals, and the question is tomorrow night going to be the last game of the year? Colorado Avalanche, one win away from the first Stanley Cup Final championship in 21 years. Currently sitting at minus 176, Cohen, to get the cup. The cup is going to be in the building, and that dude with the blonde hair and the white gloves and all that type stuff is going to bring the cup out. And so the cup is in the building. The champagne is on ice, but Tampa aren't done yet. What's your take on Friday night's game?
Yeah, listen, I had Colorado in the series. I think they should win tomorrow night. You look at Tampa Bay, and they're just so beat up. And John Cooper really sounded defeated after game five. Obviously, he was distraught over the what he felt like should have been a too many men on the ice call. It's a line change that happens all the time. By the letter of the law, he was right. It should have been called. But you look at the things that were not called in the third period. I mean, that was crazy, the penalties that were not called. So
you just explained it perfectly. This is, I had Tampa as well. Yeah. And trust me, like, put it this way, I'll take it to my grave that the Oilers got screwed on that offside. Oh, that to me, that was an offside.
Yeah.
That's offside.
Yeah.
And I still complain about that. That was a big turning point early in that series. But even if someone at Tampa, as you stated, you can't tell them, hey, you got to go by the letter of the book. Letter of the book, we just let you guys murder each other for the last 2 hours, and now you want us to go to the letter of the book?
Yeah.
And like you said, it wasn't like they had too many men on the ice. Buddy was getting off the ice, bro.
Yeah.
It was like you said, like regular season, I get it if you want to be a jerk and, yeah, well, hey, look, he's on the ice, he's on the ice. At that point, even me, bro, not to mention, bro, Colorado freaking dominated the overtime. It was inevitable they were going to score.
I mean, yeah, first of all, there was not a penalty called in the second half of that game. And second of all, yes. I mean, really after the first period, Colorado, they had 4 shots on goal in the first period. Tampa was the better team in period one. And then after that, it was all Colorado. And Vasilevsky just made huge save after huge save to keep them in. But, yeah, that was a crazy game. I mean, everyone's going to talk about the Kane overtime goal in Game 6 against the Flyers, like comparing that the goal by Kadri, because, like, I saw it was in. I think Craig Simpson knew it was in, but Chris Cuthbert and every other play-by-play guy and the Avalanche team didn't know that puck was in. I mean, watching Kadri.
Only guys on the bench sort of knew. Guys on the ice, Cohen, you're right. Nobody celebrated. Kadri didn't celebrate.
No.
I saw Kadri say after, I thought he stopped it. I thought he stopped it, and he goes, I saw some of my teammates jumping off the boards onto the ice. So I sort of turned around, and I saw these guys. And you saw nobody on the ice on Colorado raised their hands or anything. And Vasilevsky, it was so anticlimactic, wasn't it, Cohen? Because Vasilevsky's looking around. Cuthbert's lost. You know, no one really knows. Where's the puck? And then it's like, no, it's stuck in the top of the net. It's a goal, man. Like,
if you watch Kadri on the ice, so Cam, that was hysterical because he's like, he's skating away and he's upset and he has his head down. He's like, oh man, how did that not go in? And then he looks over and he sees, what? I scored? Amazing.
It's amazing, though, isn't it, Coach? So the guy that scored had no idea he scored, and the guy that he shot it on had no idea whether he stopped it or not. It was that strange of a goal. It was like no one knew.
Yeah,
it was very, very strange. And in hindsight, when you look back, beautiful goal by Kadri, but that's the one that Vasilevsky had. But after you face a million and million shots, you're gonna get worn out. But one thing with Kadri, this guy's been money, Cohen, as far as clutch goals.
Yeah.
Very impressive. I mean, he didn't play hockey in 18 days. He comes back, scores another big time goal for them. And in fact, so Nazem Kadri, this is the last three playoff season. So the last 3 years in the NHL, Nazem Kadri's tied for first with 7 game-winning goals, tied with Andre Palat and Braden Point, actually. Very impressive by Kadri. I thought Kevin Bieksa had a good point, though, Cohen, after he scored the goal, when he said, you know what? Kadri had fresher legs than everybody. That's why he flew by everybody. He didn't play in 18 days, Cohen. Everybody else been playing in the altitude and grinding away. Kadri had fresh legs, bro.
No, you're right. And, I mean, the guy's playing with a busted thumb. It's an injury that, the hockey people that I work with said probably should have kept him out for, a couple months if it's the regular season. It's a very serious injury. I mean, he was having trouble shooting the puck. That was the question. Can the guy even, shoot the puck with a busted thumb? And here he is. BX is right about the flying part because, he hadn't played in a few weeks. But the fact he was able to go top shelf after deking out the
wow.
Line, really impressive. I mean, that was, and listen, Kadri's going to get paid. He has put himself in a great position. He's a UFA.
Leaf should sign him. I'm kidding. Has that come up, actually? I'm sure it has amongst Leaf media and people.
Listen, he was a great Leaf, and obviously the problem for him was that he had the 2 suspensions in back-to-back years against Boston. And you have to understand, in both cases, they were him sticking up for teammates, and the Leafs were very soft teams and didn't have other players on their team that would stick up for anyone. And Kadri felt the need after 2 cheap shots by 2 Boston players to to stick up for teammates. And I don't fault him for that. Did he go overboard? Absolutely. You can't risk suspension. And he got suspended when he was with Colorado in the playoffs too. So, I mean, the guy's had three strikes when it comes to suspensions in the playoffs. The guy plays, you know, he's got a lot of sandpaper to him. You saw the stuff with Jordan Binnington. He's got very thick skin because he's had to deal with a lot of racist stuff. He's had to deal with a lot of things throughout his junior career, his NHL career, the things that has been said to him and his family on social media by fans. I mean, Nas has put up with a lot of crap, but you know what? At the end of the day, he's a great teammate. He scores huge goals. He's clutch. He's going to get a lot of money from someone next year because he's a UFA. And people love a guy who can go and score and be physical and be a winner. And he's a winner. And he's got a lot of great characteristics to him.
A classic guy that you want on your team and you love if he's on your team and you want to punch him in the face.
That's right.
If he's not on your team, but he's added this offensive touch. And I think being around guys like McKinnon and Landeskog, you see the maturity that he has right now. And as you stated, he has been through a lot and not just, you know, recently, mm-hmm. his entire career. So Colorado Avalanche, like I said, Cone, so you think the party, I would say, and I do all the cliche stuff about, wow, there's going to be pressure on them. Mm-hmm. The cup is in the building. The families are going to be there. They're already going to be thinking about the after party. You know, we're going to this hotel and we're going to be doing this and all that. Mm-hmm. And Tampa are not going to just roll over here. But Colorado are just so much on a mission. You know that they're saying to themselves, you know, somebody brought it up. That's the last time we see Florida until next year. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they do not want to go back to Tampa Bay, Florida.
No, listen, the last time they had Tampa in their building, game two, they beat them 7-0. It was the most dominant performance Colorado's had in the playoffs. And you're right. I mean, listen, Tampa Bay, the last thing you want to do is give them confidence. Tampa is a wounded team. Kucherov's not 100%. Paul's not 100%. Point's been out. The last game, both Chernik and Sorelli got banged up. I mean, that is a team that is just dealing with a lot of injuries. And I understand that nobody's 100% at this point of the year, but Colorado's much healthier. I mean, they just got back Kadri and all their big guns, obviously McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, and Makar are all there. They're relatively healthy. They're in a much better position to win the Stanley Cup than Tampa Bay, obviously. And I think they got to put them away in game five and don't give the two-time defending champs any reason to have any hope.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, kicking with us, TSN Edge. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Late Night Anger Maxwell Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Thursday night throwdown. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC, kicking at SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation, the Big E, Eric Cohen, kicking with us, TSN Edge in the house. And, of course, Cohen used to kick with us on a nightly basis in the old-school hardcore sports radio Sirius days. So, Cohen, I think a bet that both you and I made, and I think you probably went a little bit heavier because you were like Blue Jays World Series, Blue Jays Division, Blue Jays American League Championship. And listen, there's a lot of baseball left. I've got a couple of Blue Jays to win a division plays and parlays and this and that. And, bro, the Yankees just don't lose. Even when they're losing, they win. Even when they're losing, they win. They win all the time, Cohen. All the time, this team.
It's insane, actually, this team, what they're doing. And actually, I'm gonna check right now, but I saw something crazy, something I haven't seen in a long time. But as of yesterday, and I'm going to check on it right now, the Blue Jays had shorter odds to win the World Series than they did to win their own division. That's how good the Yankees are.
That makes sense, yeah. Because they have a chance of winning the World Series because they're going to make the playoffs, but they got no hope in hell of winning this stupid division anymore. I'm down about $700. I'm scared to look at how much I put. I got a bunch of 250 here, 300 on that, like in that range, a bunch of them.
Yeah, the Yankees are right now minus 1,100 to win the AL East, and the Blue Jays are plus 1,100 to win the World Series. It's crazy because, you know, with the new format, obviously the Blue Jays will make the playoffs. They'll be right now, they're the top wild card team, and, you know, there's not going to be three other teams that don't win their division that are going to finish with a higher record than Toronto. So Toronto will be in a best of three wild card situation. They'll have to win that short series, and then they'll advance to face, you know, one of the other three division winners, right? So, I mean, at this point, it's hard because the Blue Jays, like, what are you playing for? If you can't win the division, I guess you want home field advantage in a best of three, but how big a priority is that? But
you got to keep grinding, bro. The Red Sox are winning baseball games. Yeah. And, you know, another team, Cohen, another future that I got to own, the freaking Cleveland Guardians, bro. I think you got a piece of the under, too. This team's a lot better than I want them to be, Cohen. It's really upsetting me.
Yeah, the Guardians are, like, right there with the Twins to win the division. I mean, they lost today, but, yeah, I didn't expect Cleveland to be as good as they are. But as far as the Yankees are incredible. Today, you know, they're down 6-3 in the ninth. Hicks hits a three-run homer to tie it. Judge walks it off. It was the same thing yesterday. They were down, you know, big to Tampa Bay late in that game, and they, you know, Judge hits a two-run home run. They get another three-run home run in the eighth inning to win that game. It's every game this team just finds a way to win. The only time they've lost in 2 weeks was that Sunday game in Toronto where they blew it and the Blue Jays came back to salvage one of three against them. But man, oh man, what the Yankees are doing. Now, the only thing that, you know, the Yankees have to be worried about is, are they peaking too soon? Because I don't think, you know, they couldn't play better than this in October. And, you know, last year, listen, they were in a one-game situation. Garrett Cole crapped the bed in the one-game playoff to Boston, and that was their season. So the Yankees...
It's hard to keep the intensity, Colin, you're right, especially if you're up by 22 games in your division or something going into September.
Right.
Because then you can't rest people, but then you're sort of in this weird deal. That's why, Colin, and I'm sure you saw the number. Look, the Yankees are off to the best start since the Mariners, right? Mariners didn't win.
Mariners lose. Yeah, they lost.
Exactly.
Cleveland that year, I think.
Yeah,
right?
a lot of teams that have the best record. We see in hockey all the time, Cohen, the President's Cup, right? Just because you have the best record in regular season doesn't mean anything. And, you know, you're going to be playing against good teams in the playoffs. But what do you think, Cohen? It says the Blue Jays, man, overnight number right now at FanDuel, -158 with Manoah on the hill against Hauser tomorrow in Milwaukee. Pretty big number here. The public and everyone loves Manoah. They've caught on to this kid.
Yeah, well, Manoah's he's a top four Cy Young candidate, right? I mean, he's you know, money in the bank. His last start against New York, he obviously got pretty pissed off Saturday when the umpire blew that strike call and it cost him a run. He really only gave up one hit with the bases loaded, which he gave up three runs. That was really the only damage the Yankees did to him. Unfortunately, the Jays' bats couldn't do anything. But, that's a good price for Manoah. Manoah's certainly one of the top pitchers in the American League. The Blue Jays' problem right now is their bullpen. It's a big issue. It's a very beleaguered bullpen right now. Obviously, Romano blew his last save. Simber's been struggling. Garcia's been hit or miss. Mays has been hit or miss since coming back from the DL. It was really good for them the first month and a half of the year, but I think they're tired. They're worn down. They've been overused because, you know, a lot of their starters haven't been going very long. So right now, I think that's the biggest issue the Jays have is they got to get this bullpen back and doing what they were doing the first month and a half of the season.
The biggie, Eric Cohen, kicking with us. I am Gabe Morency. So, Cohen, let's get into the CFL. Week three began tonight, the Montreal Alouettes. These guys, we were on the Owls tonight. We gave the Alouettes on these airwaves tonight before the game started on Game Time Decisions. Weekdays at 6 on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks and all of our affiliates. So we were on the Owls to get this party started, and we were lucky to get a late touchdown to hit the over. So we've got Friday night football, ESPN2, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the two-time defending Grey Cup champion Bombers. They're laying 4.5 points, Cohen. Total has come down. It's 42.5 right now. What's your take on the Friday night game?
I will be riding that over. I think it's way too low, and I understand why it's low. It's low because Winnipeg's played two very low-scoring games to Ottawa. But if you watch Winnipeg, they get better as the game goes on. Obviously, listen, they lost a lot of weapons last year. They lost two key receivers. They lost their stud running back in Andrew Harris. So it's going to take a little bit before Zach Collaros really figures out who's going to be able to make plays for him. But that being said, it's week three. Mike O'Shea has not liked how they've played the first 2 weeks. I expect them to air it out. And Hamilton can score. They scored 24 points in the first half against Calgary. The problem is, you know, they pissed that lead away. But Dane Evans is thrown for over 600 yards. He's got weapons. He's got receivers. They can't run the ball in Hamilton. But, you know, if you have an over, you don't really want teams running the ball anyway. So, to me, I like the game to go over. I think Winnipeg probably wins and goes to 3-0. And you'll see a higher scoring game than 42.5 points.
I agree with your analysis. You look tonight, the total came down, Cohen. It was 45, then 44.5, closed at 43.5. And we saw, they got to basically, 50. Yeah, they got to 50 when it was all said and done. I agree with you, Cohen, too. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, our boy Coach O'Shea. So with the Bombers, they're 2-0. They're defending champs. They don't have Andrew Harris anymore, who's a great running back on the Argos now. Adams, former Auburn Tiger wide receivers on Ottawa. Mm-hmm. They lost some weapons.
They lost Lawler, who's doing really well.
Lawler. But they're still 2-0. It shows how good they are. Yeah. And like you said, they haven't really played all that well. And I can tell they're getting a little frustrated, but I'm with you. I think another week of practice now, back at home. I think they get into a little bit of a rhythm here. And I like where you're going with this as far as Winnipeg being the right side. It's a fair number at 4.5 and 42.5, both decent numbers here. Edmonton Elks and the Stampeders, it's 8.5, total 49.5 here. This one I'm not quite as certain yet. I tell you, Cohen, I think the Elks can hang around in this game. It takes a lot of courage to say, all right, I'm taking the Elks. But you've seen them play 2 weeks. There was great strides. Mm-hmm. There was great strides. Yeah. Right? They hung around. Calgary are good, but they're not blow you out good. Calgary sort of play up or down to the level of competition. That's what they've always done. They're one of these teams are not a good home favorite when laying points. What's your take on this game?
I agree with you. You're right. Edmonton, from week one when they got just mauled by the Lions, to hanging around with a pretty good Saskatchewan team week two, they did. I mean, listen, the Edmonton Elks are probably the worst team in the CFL. But Chris Jones, when you have a Chris Jones on your coaching staff, you know your defense will get better. He's going to make guys figure out where they need to be. He's got a history of doing that throughout his CFL coaching career. So Edmonton will get better. Calgary scores a lot of points. I don't like Calgary's defense. I mean, Montreal probably should have beat them week one, and Hamilton definitely should have beaten them week two. So. I would take the points with Edmonton. I think it's another high scoring game. Arbuckle and that Eskimo or the Elk offense finally started to really make some strides in that Saskatchewan game against a really good Saskatchewan defense. So I think Edmonton's going to get theirs. Calgary should score, 35. So I think the game goes over the number. Now they're over.
And finally, in closing, Cohen, to me is the game of the week: the Toronto Argonauts and the BC Lions. Nathan Rourke, Ohio Bobcat. Really lit it up in week one. They hung 59 on the board. There's a lot of excitement around the Lions right now as far as their fan base and in the betting markets as well. I was surprised his numbers come up, Cohen, up to 4.5 right now. Total 49.5. And this is another one, dude. I think there's points in this game. Weather will not be a factor. Beautiful night in Vancouver. The roof will be open. Argo's offense struggled a little bit last week in week one, Cohen. But they have another week under their belt right now. So I think they should be able to put a couple of points up on the board. And I think BC will be able to score. I like the over this game. What's your take on the Argo BC line game?
Yeah, I agree. You hate to keep grinding these overs, especially because scoring obviously was way down last year. Scoring should be up this year based on the new rules now that every no yards is 15 yards instead of the 5. They're trying to get scoring up in this league. And listen, I said it early in the week. We do our CFL spaces on Twitter on TSN Edge. And I said it when the line came out at 3. I said, if you like BC, get it now. The line's going up and it's gone to 4.5, 5. Like I pretty much thought it would. I like BC at 3 in this game. I don't like it at 5. I do think BC wins the game. But Toronto, you mentioned, listen, Harris is going to play after leaving the Montreal game with a hamstring injury. I thought McLeod Bethel-Thompson looked really bad in the opener. But you know what? It's funny because you watch Montreal tonight and how well they played defensively. Maybe that's why Toronto struggled offensively the way they did. Maybe Montreal is better defensively than what we thought they were week two. So that's a bit of a factor now, too. I think Toronto gives Toronto a bit of a mulligan for not playing that well on offense because, man, Montreal just absolutely smothered Cody Fajardo with, 9 sacks tonight? They were that was an epic performance by that defense. So I think BC wins a close game. I do think it's high scoring. And 28-24 sounds about right for the Lions.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, and I are thinking the same. I said earlier in the day, I think it's like around a 30-24 type of game. I like it to get into the mid-50s as far as the total is concerned. Cohen, where can people follow you on Twitter?
Real Eric Cohen, and obviously TSN Edge. We've got tons of great Twitter spaces. Stanley Cup, now obviously winding down, NBA Finals is now over. But CFL, we do 3 live CFL shows every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with Milt and Davis and all of our CFL guys. So lots of great CFL content. Keep it locked in.
The Big E, Eric Cohen, the Late Night Anchorman. Request continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, Marge, I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mean Gene. Late Night Anger Management Class. Shout out to our boy, Gregory, checking in right now, kicking it in Winnipeg. What's up, Greg? Good to see you, Gregory, in the late night hours here in our live chat. Shout out to Sooner Lisa in Norman, Oklahoma. We're the Sooners, Boomer Sooner. I don't know where Alan Action is. I don't know where you're at. I think he might be in Michigan, maybe. He seems to be talking about Michigan sports quite a bit. Our boy John Doe is in Sacktown, and I'm sorry. Listen, we got no beef with Sacktown. I'm down. I like the Kings. You know, it's too bad the Maloofs. The Maloofs were good owners, and that was the heyday. Remember the Palms in Vegas and the Sacramento Kings were good, and C-Web, and, man, that was some good days. Sacramento, one of these teams, are always close. They're always close to turning the corner, and they never do. You know, it's just one of those deals. You know, there's certain, you know what it is? The Sacramento Kings are like, you know, like every town, every neighborhood, I'm sure, whatever neighborhood you're in, doesn't matter, small town, big city, whatever. So wherever you are, there's always a business that never works. You know what I mean? Like whatever they put there, or there's, you know what I mean? There's a restaurant and, you know, it's Indian food, and then it's a pizza place, and then it's this. And for whatever reason, it's like, yeah, man, you know what? This corner, it's weird. Like, I remember in Montreal, the Montreal Canadiens played in Montreal Forum, right? And they sold out every game and stuff. Every business around them was bankrupt. It was bizarre world. There'd be like a million people outside the arena, and across the street, everything's boarded up and stuff. And it's like, well, it doesn't make sense. But it's like, nah, nothing ever works there. It hasn't worked there. That's Sacramento. Sacramento is the corner store, the property that just whatever you put in there, it doesn't work. Like, it's just one of those doom locations. And, you know, there's a lot of them in sports. Hey, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. It's not like, hey, look at the Buffalo Bandits. They couldn't even win the lacrosse league. They lost at home. Like, Buffalo just never win, man. Like, ever. Like, no matter anything. The Sabres lose in a heartbreaking fashion. Brett Hull's in the crease. The lacrosse team loses at home to Colorado. For the record, Colorado looking for the Daily Double. Hey, it's not the NBA and the NFL or whatever. Major League. It's not like the Dodgers and Rams. But, you know what I mean? Or, like, one of those type of deals. But, like, Colorado won the National Lacrosse League. And the Colorado Avalanche are on the verge of winning the Stanley Cup. And speaking of Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma, we were talking earlier about how even Teddy, and Teddy hates everything, Teddy was agreement. We like the Oklahoma Sooner football team a lot this year. People are sleeping on them. Screw Lincoln Riley. Who cares? Right? Lincoln Riley didn't even win anything there. They, you know, the coach before him did, and the coach before him did, too. It's funny how that works. Huh? It's all you new people are all hype. You're all sizzle. No steak. Venable is going to be just fine. The Sooners are going to be just fine. They're going to go over the win total. But speaking of the Sooners, I never really, you know, thought about it before. It's one of these deals, but the Oklahoma Sooners have made it to the College Baseball World Series Finals. They're going to be taking on Ole Miss. Starts Saturday night. So Mississippi, Oklahoma's getting a taste of the SEC. They're going to the SEC. Now they can take down the SEC. So Oklahoma's women's team, their softball team, was like, what, one of the most dominant teams in history ever, right? What were they, 122-7 or something like that? In the last 2 years, I don't know, whatever their record was. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I think that's what it was. I think that this the team, the collective team that they had went like 107-5 or something. Like, they didn't lose a lot. And remember when we talked about they lost and then they got so mad, they won like 15-0. Basically, like, there was the mercy rule with Oklahoma all the time. So anyways, the Oklahoma Sooner women's baseball team, softball team, was one of the best ever of all time in the history of the sport. And now the Oklahoma Sooners, I was thinking, wow, they could win. They could be the kings of baseball. You know what I mean? They could be the women's and men's. And for the record, Sooner Lisa and Oklahoma's informed me that has never happened before. because I was thinking, I was like, yeah, man. I was like, you know what? This, I just tweeted in our chat during the break. I said, Oklahoma, I said, wow, that'd be pretty cool if they won both the women's and men's baseball, softball. She said it never happened, and I trust her. That's some pretty cool stuff. All right. NBA draft. So let me just say this. We got a bunch of people in Michigan in the house. I am, of course, a Michigan Wolverine, lifelong Michigan Wolverine fan. Things are looking up. Things are looking up in Motown. You guys know I'm a Detroit. I got a Detroit Lion helmet here. We took it down right now. We'll put it back up when the season starts. We got a lot of stuff, right? So, we're it's like in season, out of season. So, but no, you guys know I'm down with the Lions. I'm a Bills fan, but the Lions are our cousins. Like when there was a snowstorm in Buffalo and we couldn't play because the stadium was overwhelmed and stuff, where did we play? Detroit. Ralph Wilson was from Detroit, the owner of the Buffalo Bills forever. He is actually from Detroit. The Bills and the Lions, ask any, no, I'm not saying, I don't speak for all Bills fans, but ask a lot of Bills fans. Next time you meet a Bills fan, ask them, who do you like in the NFC? I know you're a Bills fan, but right away he'll go, oh, the Lions. It's like they're our cousins. We're relatives. Like it's, they're both tough towns, both cold cities, tough towns. Both the Lions and the Bills have never won a Super Bowl before. There's a lot of, there's been tough economic times. They're both tough people. Like I said, there's a lot of correlations, right, with Erie, right? It's basically the mistake by the lake, all of us, including Cleveland. But Cleveland are the jerks, right? Like Buffalo and the Lions sort of pull for each other. The Browns are whatever. They're all Ohio State fans, you know what I mean? They're all in their own little world. But hey, listen, the Lions were one of the best teams against the spread last year. Love what the Detroit Pistons did. Dude, they got Duren and they got Jaden Ivey. Are you kidding me? They did awesome. Awesome. And they got Kate Cunningham, who was great. Don't fool yourself. Hey, Kate Cunningham had a great. Kate Cunningham's a badass. And the Detroit Red Wings, the kid just won Rookie of the Year. Morris was just won the Rookie of the Year. Detroit Red Wings are a good young hockey team. The Detroit Lions are on the Aiden Hutchinson. They got a ton of talent. The Lions are two years away from winning that division. Aaron Rodgers is nearing the end. The Vikings, the Bears are a train wreck. And whatever, the Vikings are sort of in the middle here. The Lions have a chance to take over this division in a year or two. They're stacked with young talent. And the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Tigers, people hyped up this year. I didn't fully buy in. I didn't buy in. I know they've had pitching injuries. The Tigers are okay, but, out of all these Detroit teams, a lot of positivity. I think the Detroit Red Wings are the ones the most, substantial that, put it this way. Are the Lions going to make the playoffs this year in the NFL? No. Are they going to be better? Yes. Are they going to make the playoffs? No. Are the Detroit Pistons going to make the playoffs next year? No. Are the Detroit Red Wings going to make the playoffs next year? Maybe. They could. Yeah. I wouldn't say no. Matthias, I know Jaden Ivey's your boy. And what do you think of him landing with Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Stewart, and the Detroit Pistons? I think it's a great fit for him. And in Big Ten country, bro, from Purdue. He stays in Big Ten country. Comfortable with the cities. He's been to Detroit before. It's a comfort zone. It's perfect.
Detroit basketball is back. That's what I think. I think it's only a couple years until that building is rocking, until that talent comes into fruition. But I think they got the guy that really ignites that engine that takes them over the top. I honestly thought Ivy was a game changer, a franchise changer. I compared him to John Morant, the type of impact that John Morant can have on a franchise. John Morant could have gone to any team in the NBA, and he would have changed that franchise around with his energy, his athleticism, his competitiveness. We've already seen it, from one year to the next with Memphis. Memphis is going to be a Western Conference contender for as long as John Morant stays healthy. And I think Ivy, has that similar type of path and that similar type of energy. The one thing that I do worry
about. That's a good comparison. They're basically the younger Eastern Conference Memphis right now. You're right. They're doing what they're sort of a young Memphis now.
it could happen quick in today's NBA. You know, you find that right player that just completely turns the franchise around.
Especially in that division, bro. They play the Pacers. They play the Bulls and stuff. They play the Hawks. It's not like they deal with dominance. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. I thought personally that Ivy was the number one franchise changer in, you know, out of any top 10 pick. You know, there's a lot of, they're all great players, don't get me wrong, but not everybody's John Morant. You know, not everybody's Damian Lillard. I have Ivy in that category as a superstar player. That he can become a superstar player. The kid's very good, Gabe. And come on, you know me, I'm a Michigan guy. It takes a lot for me to love another Big Ten player. But when I see talent, and
I got no beef with these kids.
Oh, man.
Unless you're Michigan State.
I wish he played for me.
Unless you're Michigan State.
I wish he played for us.
All right, hold on. We'll get back to the draft here. People are just asking here, Matthias. And here it is. I know you saw it.
Look at that sexy thing. Oh, my God. That thing is fantastic. That jacket is fabulous.
Yeah, I'm holding up for people on the radio. Red Bull Racing jacket. I got it sent from Holland, all the way from Holland, the real deal. This is the official one. So, yeah, it's the front. You got the sleeve. Check out the back, bro. It's badass. Look at this.
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is. I kind of want to. I don't even love F1 yet. I just enjoy watching it. But, you know, when I see gear like that.
I got nice shoes and nice jeans. I'm going to look like a classy son of a bitch with this jacket one night.
Absolutely. That's the type of jacket that gets you laid when you're 25 years old. You walk into the bar when you're 25.
Well, I'm not 25, but I'm hoping I still do.
Yeah, F1's a new thing. You know, F1's in. You know, back then, it's like, what are you wearing?
Especially that jacket, too. People are like, where did you get that, right? It's going to be like, you know what I'm saying?
Posted it. I had to message you. I'm like, where did you find this?
No, it's nice. It's from Holland. It's the same one that Horner wears and Mac. It's, you know what I mean? It's the team jacket. It's the official 2022 team Red Bull Racing jacket. It's about $300 if you want, like, basically. It's like 200 euros. You know what I mean? I don't know, dude. I didn't understand. Whatever. It said L146 or something. It was in Holland. Everything was in Dutch. Right, so I just saw it. I could tell I'm not an idiot. I was like, yeah, that's the one I want, and I clicked it. But it was in Dutch, so I clicked it, and I basically they have euros, so it was 100 and whatever euros. And it's funny because Darius Butler, former Colt, of course, he's in F1, and then I tweeted in the picture the jacket, and he told me, he goes, I saw them at F1 in Miami, and he goes, they were $300. And I said, yeah, basically that's what it was. Because I paid 200. It turned into like $200. But they warned me. They said yes, but they said it's $200. And then it said, be warned, there is an import tax since it's coming from Holland. And it turned out to be $80, man. So it turned into like $280. But the thing is, Darius told me they were going for $300 on site. So I paid the same thing, essentially, to getting them from Holland. And wait till you see, I got the official helmet coming, Matthias. We're going to have to set. I got the official Max Verstappen Miami 2022 Grand Prix helmet, limited edition, straight from Red Bull. Or they're the people that sell their merch. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. So did Juzang not get drafted? What's up? Juzang didn't get drafted, huh?
No, Gabe.
A lot of stuff going on here tonight.
Things.
Didn't get drafted.
We always forget who doesn't get drafted because we pay attention to who did. But there's actually some big players that didn't get drafted, like Kofi Coburn out of Illinois didn't get drafted. Brady Manek out of North Carolina didn't get drafted. Johnny Juzang didn't get drafted. Travion Williams out of Purdue didn't get drafted. And there's more names out.
You notice, bro?
Big players.
They don't like these power forwards and these big dudes, bro. You got to be special, Matthias, and hit shots, man. You know what I mean? Being a big dude and crashing the glass and stuff. And I'm not saying Juzang's a big dude, but you know what I mean? But, like, that's surprising. It also goes to, like, look at our boy Hunter Dickinson, bro. You know what I mean? I'm like, this guy's a great player.
He could be a late second rounder next year.
We hope. Good for him. We hope. Yeah, by Orlando.
Exactly. It's a
shoe-in,
right?
By Orlando. Yeah, get ready, kid. You're going to be a late second-round pick on the Orlando Magic next year. What do you tweet? Or, hey, Orlando Wolverines.
Orlando Wolverines. The Orlando Wolverines. It won't be the Orlando Magic face.
Because they got Caleb Houston tonight, too. They got Caleb Houston. All right, so coming up next, we, you know, listen, guys, we can sort of go day by day here with what event's coming up next. Stanley Cup tomorrow night. We got some good baseball games. Tune in to Game Time Decisions tomorrow. It's always fun. Cousin Sal joins us every Friday at 6:40 Eastern. So we'll talk Cousin Sal. We got a Stanley Cup final tomorrow night. Listen, I was wrong. I thought Tampa could hang with these guys. Colorado are that good. Colorado are just hungrier, they're fresher, and they're better right now. They're the better team right now. I want to take Tampa tomorrow. I'd like to see more hockey. I'm sure the NHL wouldn't mind more hockey either, something to think about. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take Tampa in the first period. We'll take Tampa in the first period before the Avalanche starts, pardon the pun. That's the way it goes. Either Tampa are going to come out and make a real game of this, and Colorado are going to have their hands full, and maybe they win at one, you know what I mean? It's going to be tough. Or they're going to come out, and it's going to be like 4-0 right away for Colorado, and it's over. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.